Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine and I am here on a Tuesday in June and I am happy to introduce our person who's a guest and been willing to join us and talk about a great event coming up in June also. It is Good Morning, Mariah Williams, and your title is Ride Day Director for the Chafe 150 Grand Fondo Ride.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good. I got it right.
You got it right.
Pretty much right on.
Ride day director. I don't like to be the director year round, just on ride day.
On one day, but it's a very big day.
It is a big day.
That's right. So, well, Mariah, I learned quite a bit about you before we began the interview, and I want to hear all about it again. Tell us how you got involved in biking and this particular event and a little bit of your history here in Sandpoint.
Sure. Well, I'm from Sandpoint, Sandpoint High School. Class of 2010, my dad is Brad Williams, who is one of the co-founders of the Chafe 150, along with Bill Berg and Geraldine Lewis. They started the ride with Panhandle Alliance for Education as a fundraiser for the Ready for Kindergarten program in 2008.
That's some time. It's been going on for quite a few years now.
Yes. Year 18 we're on.
All right. And did you just become a lover of biking through your dad? How did that happen?
Well, voluntold, you know, at the beginning. No, my family's always been very active and going out and doing rides. And Brad has been riding events like this for as long as I can remember, participating in various regional rides like the Rat Pod out of Dillon, Montana. And there used to be a Stoker ride out of Montana, a few others like that. And then they decided to start the one here.
All right. And how did you get drawn in to be the director of this very big part of the job? Was it just sort of assumed that being Brad's daughter, you were going to take over the reins there?
Oh, no, I don't think so. There's been a really, really involved ride committee for many years. This ride's a huge labor of love. Like I said, it started with the Panhandle Alliance for Education. It's moved into the Rotary Club of Sandpoint. And with the Rotary Club of Sandpoint's involvement, we've gotten a lot of kind of long-term volunteers out of that. But interestingly enough, many of the ride committee members themselves have been with the ride since it was with the Panhandle Alliance for Education, which is amazing. And our ride committee members really just have been so integral. I moved back to Sandpoint about 6 years ago and just started getting a little bit more involved, and piece by piece, it just evolved. We've had some really key members of the ride retire recently. And so as that has happened, my responsibilities have grown. And a few of our ride committee members like to ride on ride day. I would ride on ride day, but I can't anymore, you know?
Okay. You have a physical situation.
No, just too much to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can't be the ride director and also riding in the event. No,
exactly.
Way.
I think the last time I rode the ride was probably around 2018 or something.
Well, all right. And it's just so interesting because you're a family, part of the family, and you're carrying on the tradition. And I'm looking across our table here in the studio at Mariah, and she's young for a volunteer. And you are a volunteer, or are y'all volunteer?
We are primarily volunteer. I am volunteer. I'm a CPA here in Sandpoint. I'm 34 years old. My husband can correct me when he gets this. I get my age wrong a lot. My primary job is to work as a CPA at Williams & Schiller. And I'm a Sandpoint Rotarian. So I got involved in Rotary, got involved in Chafe, and then that sort of evolved naturally. Many Chafe committee members are Sandpoint Rotarians. It's a really big commitment by the Sandpoint Rotary to put the ride on. And for me,
why do you do it? Why do you get involved? Well, the history, but you just, well, there's a charitable aspect.
Yes. So the Chafe, we've sort of dropped the acronym over the years. There used to be a lowercase a in Chafe in the old logo. Chafe stands for Cycle Hard for Education. And it started with the Pinhead Alliance for Education and moved to Rotary. And since the ride's inception in 2008, it's raised over $1.25 million for education in Northern Idaho.
Let's hear that again. Did you say $1.25
million? $1.25 million for education.
And is there a specific area of education or do you spread it around?
Well, it's interesting, actually. So the ride goes through about a three-year phase where we support a specific educational cause as our primary beneficiary. I'm air quoting, which you can't see on the radio, primary beneficiary. So the ride right now, the primary beneficiary is the Lake Pondere School District's Every Student Graduates a Reader program, which is a program specifically designed to provide annual literacy screenings, diagnostic assessments for students, personalized instruction, teacher training, and evidence-based literacy practices. And this is a pretty astounding fact, but did you know that 20% of graduating high school seniors nationally can be considered functionally illiterate?
I did not know that, but I have started reading about the type of literacy programs that you've just spoken of, because I understand there's been a period of kind of a lot of different ways of teaching kids to read and kind of coming back around to some of the old ideas, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm not honestly very familiar with the curricular aspects of exactly how they're teaching it, but I do know that the success that they've found with this program is incredible. The school district has posted some really amazing increases in literacy across multiple grades since the inception of this program. And one of the things about the CHAFE that I think is amazing is it's been going since 2008, right? And through that time, it has supported the Ready for Kindergarten program. It supported the autism programs in the Lake Pondere School District. And what was learned out of that program was then spread across all these other teaching methodologies within the school district and provided some really amazing extra.
Yeah, some advances, some great ideas.
Yeah, yes. Some really amazing ideas. We've had the Book Trust program, which helped students build home libraries. And all of those investments have really benefited a generation of students in the region. And that just is pretty incredible to me.
Well, to me, too. So, listeners, we haven't even started talking about the event, which is coming next. But think about all the great outcomes that have been a result of this day that we think of as just a fun day on bikes for a ton of people.
Absolutely. And there's one other aspect that I think gets lost sometimes when we talk about the cause, and that is this ride also funds all of the local Rotary Club of Sandpoint education initiatives. So the Rotary Club of Sandpoint has scholarships for outgoing high school seniors. We provide foreign exchange, both inbound and outbound opportunities for local students. We have student leadership programs through RILA and Mini RILA and a number of other things that provide these opportunities that our local students may not otherwise have.
Yeah, so that's a ton. That is great. And
that's my why.
Yeah.
Is this education of the next generation.
And shout out to you, Rotarians, for all the effort you've put in over the years for this event and taking up the mantle of the CHAFE 150 Grand Fondo. Okay, let's start talking about the actual event, because I have a feeling a number of listeners are signed up or will be signed up for this pretty cool thing that's coming. And it's on June 20th, isn't it?
June 20th, 2026. Okay. City Beach, Sandpoint, Idaho. Be there.
All right. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of it. So we know the date. Let's talk about what time folks have to be there. How do they get signed up? When should they sign up? All of those sort of details.
Yeah. Yeah. So the ride, we have multiple different routes, but in terms of registration, we are taking online registrations right now. You can go to chafe150.org and register to ride. Our adult entries are $105 for registration. And then all of our riders are encouraged is this not as strong a word, are asked to raise or donate $70 towards the education causes that we're raising funds for. And so the total cost to ride our longer rides per rider is $105 registration fee, $70 donation, which you can fundraise or donate yourself, the total being $175. That's for our 150-mile and 80-mile road routes, as well as our both distances of our gravel routes, which is our 60 and 40 mile gravel routes.
Yeah.
Our 40 and 25 mile routes are a little bit less expensive because they're a little bit less labor intensive. So those are $85 for adult entry and the same $70 donation. So
okay.
Total about 155.
Yeah, very good. But into that, whatever the donation or entry amount goes, a lot of prep work and a lot of work on the part of the CHAFE folks, and then the part that's going to the donation. Tell us about all the great things that are included when you sign up for a ride like this ride on
June 20th. Absolutely. Absolutely. So the CHAFE has always been, the goal is to be the best supported ride that a rider's ever participated in. So we pride ourselves on being a fun environment, a safe environment, and you feel safe while you're riding and you feel supported. So if you register online, then all you have to do is on Friday night, you can come and you can pick up your packet from 3 to 7 at City Beach. We're also going to have a little event at Matchwood. We used to have a little beer and wine garden at City Beach on Friday night, but with some regulatory changes, we're just doing packet pickup, merchandise sales, and kind of a hangout on Friday night at City Beach. But then at Matchwood, Matchwood has offered to donate some beer to us. And so we're going to have our riders be able to come there. You can also ask some ride questions there, meet some people, get some dinner, or go visit somewhere else in town. We have many wonderful restaurant sponsors. We'll be encouraging our riders to patronize.
Yes, but nice to have a spot to all meet up if you feel like it.
Yeah.
So Matchwood the night before.
Yeah, once you pick up your packet. You can't pick up your packet at Matchwood, but you could also register on Friday. We will close online registration Tuesday night at midnight.
Okay.
Because our team needs some time to get some stuff together.
Yeah.
And then we reopen for on-site registration on Friday at 3. So we won't shut you down completely. We just don't let you register on Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, but if a person was coming into town and decided they wanted to go ahead and go for it, they could still kind of last minute
sign up. Can register on Saturday morning. So at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, our late packet pickup and registration opens. We have a beautiful breakfast on the beach for all of our riders. Our longer route riders will have a full breakfast catered by Ivano's.
Wow.
And our shorter route riders, they start a little bit later in the day, but we still offer them a kind of more of a continental style breakfast. It swaps at a certain point in the morning. You can get your breakfast, get your bike ready. The Alpine Shop is bringing over mechanics to do kind of light tunes, checks on the bikes.
Wow.
You can buy merch. Raffle tickets.
So cool. So that's a great little extra fringe benefit to have folks coming and looking at bikes if you've got a question or something like that.
Exactly. We've been so fortunate that many different bike shops have been supportive of the ride over the years. And it's really in a collaborative fashion too. So Greasy Fingers used to be our kind of primary bike sponsor, and over the years we've added Syringa, was super helpful. Outdoor Experience has helped us over the years. The Alpine Shop is helping us as well. We're really thankful to our bike shop community for standing by us and helping us.
Pitching in, and it's a win-win.
Exactly.
Brings bikers to the community.
Yeah. And they bring mechanics for the actual ride day too. So we've got mechanics circulating with the riders.
That's really cool. Well, that's one great fringe benefit, but there's more. We've got hydration stops.
We've got rest stops along every route. So we've got, on our 150-mile route, you go through every one of our rest stops, aside from the gravel rest stops. They're about every 20 miles. So depending on the distance of the route you take, you'll access about that many per ride. And we have them staffed by a really wonderful community organization. Some are businesses, some are nonprofit organizations. This year, our rest stops are sponsored by our Bonner's Ferry rest stop is sponsored by Northwest Auto Body. They bring their crowd and they have a really fun rest stop for the 150 riders at Bonner's Ferry School. The Lake Pondere School District runs three of our rest stops, actually, as kind of a primary beneficiary of ride proceeds. They really pitch in and provide a lot of support and encouragement for our riders. So they're at Yak Hill, the Bacon Station, for any of you who've ever rode the 150. They're in Troy, and they're also in Heron. So the 150 riders will hit three Lake Pondere School District rest stops. The 80 riders will hit two. At Bull Lake, Montana, and the Bull River Valley, which I'm biased because we have a place up there, but one of the most beautiful sections of the ride is the Bull River Valley. The Rotary Club of Sandpoint runs the rest stop there. In Clark Fork, you'll see Friends of Scotchman's Peak and the Pondere Peddlers. They join together to host that rest stop for you. And then KRFY.
Here we go.
Here we go. KRFY has hosted our rest stop at Northside Elementary School, I want to say since the inception of the ride. I don't know that for a fact, but KRFY has been hosting that rest stop for a very long time. It might have been since the inception of the 2540.
I'm not sure, but I know I've helped out for maybe at least 5 years. So
Yeah. Anyone riding the 2540, if you're riding the 25, you'll hit that rest stop one time. If you're riding the 40, you'll hit it twice. And so the KRFY folks are the big cheerleaders for our 2540 riders.
We sure are. And it's fun. And was that the last supporter?
I've got one more. We've got a rest stop for our gravel riders, which will be hit. And we'll have a water stop for them, too. But the Catherine Larson and her crew is hosting a rest stop up on the gravel route for us. It'll be hit multiple times based on how it's...
whichever route you're going. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So that in itself is a lot of work and rest stops. And I know on other rides that we've talked about that happen in the summer, there can sometimes be a little bit of competition over best rest stop. Does that happen to some degree?
We used to have a big rest stop trophy and do a fair amount of that. We've gone away from the competition a little bit, just in that all of our rest stops have been so great. We haven't had a rest stop trophy in a number of years, but maybe we should bring it back.
It's good with me, whichever way you decide to go, but we do have fun setting it up, and we as KRFY volunteers have had a lot of fun over the years helping out, and I'm sure the other rest stop folks feel the same. It's pretty neat.
It's a fun time, pretty for sure. Fun.
So we've got all the rest stops, we've got mechanics, you've got folks on the route just making it safe and keeping track of people.
Absolutely. We call them our SAG team, our support and gear team. We have multiple sets of vehicles along the route for riders. If you have an issue or on a hot year, especially, they carry extra water, extra bars and chews or whatever. They'll stop and check in with you if you need some help. They're watching for safety issues along the course. We also have roving professional medical personnel who are along the route to help check in on people who have either serious issues or just keeping an eye out for anything that could going
yeah,
on.
A lot of stuff can happen. People get tired, etc.
Exactly. Yeah. And if, you know, we have a number of riders who something will happen along the route, they're not feeling well, or they need to be taken back in. And that's what our SAG team is really there for, to watch out for people who might need a lift back to town, too. We can provide that for folks.
And that's a great service, to know that if something does happen, even if you've trained and maybe you're think you're going to be the best ride you've ever had, but things can happen. It's nice to know you can get a pickup if you need it.
Yeah, or a major mechanical. You know, we have mechanics, but there are certain things you really just can't fix on the road.
Right. And it sounds like the beginnings of each of the various rides are a bit staggered. I assume that so that folks might end roughly the same time.
Yes. Our big party at City Beach, we haven't even talked about.
I know.
We have a after ride party that runs from about 2 to 8 on Saturday. If you're not riding, we encourage you to come down and join us, cheer on the riders. But our goal with the staggered starts is so that everyone ends the ride at approximately the same time. So the goal is to have most of our riders finish between kind of 3 and 6 p.m. down at City Beach. The course is open until 8. So that's when our last riders will be brought in. But yeah. 3 to 6 is kind of the heavy period.
Can't be too many that are biking till 8, I wouldn't think.
You know, some of our 150 riders who are going out and really taking that challenge, we see it most years. We'll have somebody coming in around 7:30.
Sure, so.
But and we cheer them in just as hard.
And it's a pretty neat dinner event. And where is that taking place?
City Beach. Everything, the start and finish all happens at City Beach. Okay. So it's catered by Ivano's. They give a wonderful dinner there down there for us. You can buy tickets. You can buy drink coupons. We have a bar hosted by the 219.
Yeah. And, so.
And they'll be down there serving. And we've got music going and announcers telling bad jokes. Sorry, David. And cheering everybody on.
Yeah, it's a pretty high energy end of the day event. I've attended because it's so kind of the Chafe to give a dinner ticket to the folks who volunteer for the rest stations.
Oh, yes. All of our volunteers are provided an invitation to come to the after ride party, including meal and drink tickets. And it's all the rest stop folks, all the people on the road, all the people on site.
Yes, and it's pretty fun for us volunteers because we've seen a number of these people really working hard all day, and it's nice to see them having finished and with smiles on their faces and, you know, just chatting with each other and the volunteers. It's really an event that feels good. I have to say I've enjoyed it a ton.
I love that.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I didn't even have to ride the ride. I've got to appreciate the end
Anyone
point.
Can volunteer. You just hit us up on our website.
There you go.
We'll find a spot for you.
That's right. I mean, I think that's really a good message to send out because you really need a ton of volunteers for this event.
Yes. Yes, it takes over 100 individual people to get the ride off the ground. We have a committee, obviously, I talked about, that works year-round, but between today and 5 days after the ride, we have volunteer events or needs for volunteers the entire time.
All right. Well, KRFY listeners, you heard it. If you're looking for a way to volunteer here in the end of June, there you've got it, the yeah. Chafe. Yes. And so, Mariah, let's go ahead and talk about Who participates as riders, and we know something about who participates, as volunteers or partners, the partners. Have we covered on all the partners?
No, we haven't talked about our sponsors yet, and I think I would be remiss to not speak about our sponsors. Our Chafe sponsors really are the backbone of how we're able to do what we do. Our platinum sponsors for 2026 are Like Media and Lighthouse, both of which have been huge partners for us for many years. Many of our sponsors have been.
What does that mean? They're big donators, I'm assuming.
Big donators. They also donate in kind. So our gravel routes and our 80-mile ride, they both have to be bused to their start locations because we want everyone to finish at City Beach. But our 80-mile route is the back half of our 150. So they have to be bused to Troy to start. And our new gravel routes start in Priest River and come back to City Beach. So Lighthouse donates trucks that we pack with bikes to get them to their various start locations. They also donate monetarily. Like Media does basically everything print or digital that you see for the Chafe. They put that together for us. They provide a significant amount of in-kind donated time. And then we're very grateful also for some reduced rates for some other work that we need done to make the ride happen. So they're our professional marketing partner. And we quite literally could not do this without them.
That's amazing. And that it can come from right here in the community.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
We love it too. And then we've got our gold sponsors, which are also financial. Many of these are also in kind. Annie Pollock, the Bonner County Daily Bee, Coachava, KPND Radio, Pagan Reed Tuddenham, the Heimowitz Family Foundation, Tomlinson Sotheby's International Realty, D.A. Davidson, Torque Electric, Williams & Schiller, 113 Main, and the 219 Lounge. We also have bunch of silver and bronze sponsors, as well as friends of the Chafe. At last count, we had 97 individual in-kind or financial sponsors of the CHAFE for 2026.
That's an amazing number. That's really great. Kudos to y'all. Well, 97 supporters, how many participants? How many do you expect this year?
This year's been a really interesting year. We've got a little bit of a timing issue with some other routes in the region and the some other things going on in the community. I expect the ridership to hit over about 250 riders, which is an okay year for us. It's not the best we've ever seen. But I do think that there's a lot going on in the community, and you never know. Our riders, sometimes we get 60% of our riders register on Friday and Saturday before the ride. And sometimes it's 30%.
Well, I would think weather plays a part.
Weather plays a huge part, particularly for our local riders, or riders for our shorter distances. They'll decide on Thursday that the weather looks good on Saturday, so they'll come sign up Friday or Saturday day and come join us.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a fair weather biker, and I'm sure the listeners know this too. And if I were going to do even the easiest CHAFE, which I don't think I'm even in shape for, sadly, but I think I would wait until kind of close to look at the weather, because, you know, some of us are fair weather bikers and some are just ready to do whatever it takes, rain or shine.
Absolutely. Well, and it kind of depends, you know, our demographics. You were asking who rides the CHAFE, and we've got a huge number of our riders come from outside the region. So we have just a really large contingent of riders who come from Washington. We get a lot of riders from the Seattle area. We have a lot of riders from kind of, I consider, we have got regional riders. So we get maybe a third of our ridership is local, probably more than a third. Maybe 40% would be regional, so Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, that kind of area. Then we spread out. We've got a lot of riders in Oregon, Montana. We get a lot of riders from Southern Canada coming in, especially now that border things are a little bit easier. This year, just right now, we have, I think, 10 Canadian riders registered.
That's pretty nice that they can come on down and join in this event. And I think there's a good reason why people come and keep on coming, and it has to do with the route or the routes. Let's just talk a little bit about the beauty and what people might expect.
Absolutely. Yes. I think one thing I really want to talk about, particularly for our local listeners, is our new gravel routes.
Oh, yes.
Our new gravel routes are pretty incredible. So they are starting in Priest River, like I said. So we'll bus our riders to Priest River. Then from there, they will ride up the East Side Road and go from up the East Side Road a ways towards the Experimental Forest. So they'll spend time up in the Experimental Forest in that area, which, if you've been up there, stunning country.
Beautiful.
Our gravel 60 riders will split off a ways up there, and they'll do a loop out towards Jackpine Flats, which is a really nice, little bit less, you know, vert on that
not
little
quite
extension.
As steep,
not
quite
as steep on that extension for their 20-mile extension loop, and then they'll join the gravel 40 again after those extra miles. They'll both go east and start to the climb up towards Baldy.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then they'll cross Happy Gap before coming back to Sandpoint on the finish line. And the 60 is about 4,100 feet elevation gain, and the 40 is about 3,500.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So they need to have their legs toned up for
but
that.
But it's going to be beautiful.
Yes.
It's going to be beautiful. The 150, when we switch over to road rides, you know, the 150 goes from Sandpoint up to Bonners, over across Highway 2 through the Yak, hits Troy, and then they join up with the 80 riders. And now, so from Troy, they take some kind of fun back roads outside Troy, then get on Highway 56, which I swear Highway 56 is just stunning.
I love it. It's a beautiful drive, and it'll be a beautiful bike ride.
Yes, yes. Then they hit Highway 200. They'll go on Highway 200 for a short time. About 4 years ago, they finished some frontage roads around the Heron area.
Mm.
And so we turn our riders off the highway, which is amazing, and onto these pretty freshly paved frontage roads to Clark Fork. And then they'll go Clark Fork. They take some frontage roads around Hope and back to Sandpoint from there.
And I mean, having driven on the day of the chafe before, I know it's well marked and riders find their way, and it's so nice. As beautiful as Highway 200 is, I think they probably appreciate getting onto the back roads.
Yes. Yeah, the frontage roads are great. It's a really difficult thing putting riders on the highway. And we hear this from our riders, you know, we'd like to find more spots off the highway. It's very difficult to do that in a way that works for these routes. We've been working on it. We do our best to try to pull people off wherever we can. But what we also do is we spend a lot of time working on signage for drivers and riders to ensure that drivers know there are cyclists on the road when they're going to be there. We also work really closely with police and sheriffs and highway patrol to ensure that they know that riders are on the course. And they're doing some pretty strict monitoring of drivers during that time, which is really nice.
It really does support the event, and the signage and all the SAG folks and the sheriffs and police, I think, really do help just riders, whether they're aware of the event or just happen to be driving through, really take care and keep an eye out.
That's the goal.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job with that. It's pretty neat. Let's get back to the participants for a minute. What would be the age range of participants?
Well, one thing we haven't touched on yet is we also have a family fun ride. Our family fun ride is just a little out and back on the Sand Creek Trail from City Beach. And we do a little safety presentation. We talk about how to be safe on our bicycles and take kids out. And that's free for kids. That's chaperone has to pay. But so we have riders from, technically we allow burly trailers. So you could have riders from
like 1 year old,
1 year old on up. If I'm looking at just right now today, we have about 20% of our riders are over 65, 36 of them are 50 to 65. 16% in their 40s, 11% in their 30s, and then the remaining 20%, between up to 29.
Oh, nice. So it is a real mix.
It is a real mix. If you break them down by route, you can see some more trends, but we like to say we have a route for everybody, and that includes every age, every gender, every skill level. One thing we've done in the last few years is really encourage people who want to participate on e-bikes. Many of these types of events don't allow for e-bike participation because they're very difficult to provide mechanical support for. We've been so lucky with our bicycle shop partners to have some additional mechanical support, and we have so much SAG support on the road. Our e-bike riders understand that their bikes are more complex and they're difficult to be maintained on the road. So if they have a problem beyond what can be repaired on the road, they understand that they're going to have to.
Might
have to come back in. But it's been really fun to see people coming in on e-bikes because it really allows people to participate who may have otherwise not wanted to, or may have, you know, a physical limitation or an age limitation, but they'd like to be on the road. And we'd like to have them.
Well, guess what? That just put me back in the running as a possible participant.
Hey!
You know, I wasn't aware of that because a number of the other rides that happen this summer haven't invited e-bikes. So this is great news. For how long have e-bikes been welcome?
You know, I think it's been 3 or 4 years now that we've welcomed e-bikes. And we started actually putting it on our posters that we allow e-bikes because many people don't realize that, or if they're riding on an e-bike, they just automatically think they can't participate. And the chafe is a ride, not a race. And that helps a little bit, right? We don't award prizes. We obviously will announce our fastest finishers and we celebrate them. But what we are really here to do is to bring community together, to support community and provide an amazing experience for everybody, no matter who you are riding.
Yes. And to support the great, you know, the education, the whole purpose, the mission.
Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Mariah, I was wanting to ask you, what have you liked best about participating over the years?
For me, it's a tie between the cause and the impact that the ride's been able to have over the years and the people. I really enjoy meeting people who come to our community from other areas and, you know, look at Sandpoint and decide they want to come back and visit or something like that, plus all of the volunteers who participate. So for me, it's really a tie between the cause and the people.
Yeah, it's a real community building event. I've gotten to know people through the CHAFE that I stay in touch with. It's just a great way to meet people and build community.
Absolutely. And many of our riders, you know, about 40% of our riders registered for this year's ride are first timers to the CHAFE. So they've never ridden before, and many of those are from out of town. So we had a study done by the University of Idaho a number of years ago, and the economic impact of the ride beyond what we, you know, do for raising funds for education, the ride brings in $300,000 to $500,000 in tourism dollars in a single weekend our local community, which is pretty fun too.
That's amazing. And you know, if you visited this area once and came as a biker, there's so many other reasons to return. And so it's a big boon to the entire community to have a bunch of new faces and some old experienced faces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We provide a fun event for locals, and we also provide a really beautiful window into our community for people who might want to come visit later too.
Yes. Yeah, so how does this event fit in with other biking events? Are you all kind of... It must sort of be like it's got to be the type of an event that brings others together, other biking organizations, and really helps with that. Sorry for the listeners. Sorry for this phone ringing in the background, but we'll get it taken care of.
I think that's a great point. You know, many of these types of rides, we've seen a decline in them. Continuing, very difficult to put on. They're very dangerous. So, you know, it takes a lot of work to make sure it's done safely. And so many rides are ending. So we've tried very hard to be a partner with as many of them as we can. And, you know, we will pass out information about other rides at our ride, and other rides will pass out information about our ride to other rides. We've got local events, you know, the Syringa Productions puts on a wonderful gravel series, and they are continuing to add rides to that, which we just think is wonderful. The more organizations that are promoting cycling and also supporting the community at the same time, because most of these events are community fundraisers, no matter where they are. And the Rotary Clubs have a lot of them. So we just had a booth at Bloomsday with the Spokane Aurora Rotary Club, who has a ride in May. And their ride's over now. And the Lake Chelan Rotary Club, who has actually a ride the same day we do in June.
Okay.
And there's also the Rim Ride, hosted by the Rotary Club of Post Falls. So we try to collaborate where we can with those organizations,
too. Yeah, and line up the scheduling and all that. And it's got to have a synergistic effect, I would think. And then brings the attention of serious bikers to this region.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think you're doing a great job with that. Yeah, so, okay, listeners, if you're joining in through sometime later in the hour than when we did the introduction, this is KRFY, community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is the Tuesday show, Tuesday morning, and now Tuesday afternoon at 2. And we're so lucky to have Mariah Williams, who's the Ride Day Director for the CHAFE 150 Grand Fondo Ride. And Mariah, it's been just a great interview, and I'm not sure that we're quite done. I have a feeling you've got a few more things you'd like to add.
Oh, I don't know. What do I want to add? Well, we'd really welcome anyone who wants to participate in any way, shape, or form. We couldn't do this without the support of our community, our Rotary Club, our sponsors, our rest stop folks, our volunteers, our medical staff, the police and all of that. It's a heavy lift, and we're just so happy and thankful for our community for supporting us for so long.
Yeah, and we all show up for it. And we'll add that it's just one of the most beautiful places you can plan either a shorter or longer bike ride, and well-supported, great food and drinks, and people that are going to really help you get finished and support you through this.
Absolutely. We were once named the best charity bike ride in the Northwest, and I think that rings true.
It's deserved, I think so. Oh, I did think of another fun question, and that is, have you had anyone who's been riding year after year since the very beginning? Is there anyone?
That's a good question. We have many riders who have participated a large number on a large number of events. I just corresponded with a rider who registered for their 9th chafe in this data series. So part of the problem, right, is it's
data.
Problem for a data is a difficult one. So in the early days, you know, our registration lists were in spreadsheets and on paper, and we moved to a different system. So for what I have digital data on, I do have several riders who have rode all of the rides in this set of data that I do have. It's pretty incredible.
It's amazing. You know, same issue here at the radio station. As we improve our technological abilities, we gather more data. But when you're a little nonprofit and getting going, that's not always your first priority, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been working hard. Anytime we find an old registration list, I import it into our new software. But it's hard to gather all that stuff from volunteers who, you know, handled the registration in 2009 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They may have some old files sitting somewhere, but who knows where, something like that. No, we just all do our best, and now everybody's getting more on top of this, so it can only get better.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think we're coming to an end here. Mariah Williams, Chafe 150 Grand Fondo Ride, Ride Day Director. Big job for you coming up on June 20th. Just remind us of the details one last time, and then we'll sign off.
Absolutely. So we have 7 routes, a 150-mile, an 80-mile, a 40-mile, a 25-mile road route, a family fun ride, and 2 gravel routes, 60 and 40 miles. They all start at City Beach on Saturday, June 20th. You can register online at chafe150.org. If you're not able to ride, you're more than welcome to join our community celebration on Saturday from 2 to 8, at City Beach and cheer on the riders, or just come on down anytime, and we'd love to have you.
Sure. Can folks who aren't actually on the ride offer the donation part?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, you can donate or sponsor. You can sponsor a rider. So some of our riders are fundraising. The top fundraisers win some prizes. So cool. If you know somebody doing a fundraiser, you can donate. We didn't talk about this, but we also have some Chafe folks who put together a really amazing whiskey barrel raffle. So we have a big raffle going on. They're going to be selling tickets at 113 Main on Saturday. So cool. If you're at 113 Main, buy some raffle tickets or come on down. You can buy raffle tickets or merchandise from us at the beach.
Yeah, so lots of ways where you can help with this nonprofit organization that's going to help education in our community.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, once again, Mariah, thank you for joining us this morning and later today. And boy, you've just offered so much great information and been a bright spot in my day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great being here.
You bet.